listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 20th already. I can't believe it. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, and happy full moon. It's Hunter's moon, so it's all mine.
Well, you can have it, I'm telling you. Welcome to those joining us live, as well as to those listening to the archives. We're happy to have you either way. And if you've taken the time to come join us live and join us in chat, thank you for that. You add a dynamic energy that we appreciate, and we love your conversation. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we are going to be exploring the mysterious and the unknown.
It's vast and big.
It is. It's a limitless topic. You could literally go any direction with it. And, you know, I have to say, dealing with the unknown, tackling the unknown and the mysterious is pretty much all any of us are here to do. And I just mean that as humans, but especially as metaphysicians. You know, metaphysical humanism is about trying to understand human awareness, the human condition. What are we, and this question is different for everybody, but what are we here to do? That's a personal question and a personal journey. And also, what does it mean to be human? And what are the bounds of this existence? So, you know, when we talk about the mysterious and the unknown, of course, it's such a vast topic because it encompasses the majority of knowledge that is out there. We have accumulated so little of the knowledge that is to be had. It's just daunting. We live in an infinite universe, and I think, you know, we can start there. The vastness of the unknown universe, the fact that we are but one planet orbiting one star in a galaxy of billions of stars with billions and billions of galaxies out there. You know, I once had to do in college a while back, I did a study and a presentation on galactic filaments. And these galaxy filaments are essentially these long spans of galaxies that stretch across space, and you have these masses of void in between them. And, you know, the amazing thing is, if you kind of look at the totality of it, it almost looks like the synapses of a human mind. But that's the human brain, that's an entirely different topic and subject. But the sheer vastness that we are but one star in just one of those points of light that represents a galaxy in a universe filled with galaxies of billions of stars themselves, it kind of terrifies you in some ways. In one way, we are advanced enough to be able to ponder these significant questions and to be able to understand our world just that much more. But in the sense of the just infinite nature of existence, the inability to try to truly know some of these deep questions that are out there in terms of the origins of the universe and all of that history that's out there, the billions of years, and, you know, how does time work? All these things are piling on in terms of things that we don't know, things that are mysterious, and tackling the unknown, life after death being a huge one. Of course, here we do say that there is some type of existence after this life, and I think that we all have our own different ideas about what that is. Dr. Hunter, I know that you have some past life memories. I personally find logic in the idea of a certain kind of reincarnation, but it is also tackling the mysterious and the terrifying vastness of the unknown cosmos that led to many early religions. And I think human beings cope with these terrifying unknowns by creating something that adds comfort, and honestly, in a very real way. And with that has come a lot of pain too, because as humans find answers, they become particular to a culture, a people, and then different peoples have different ideas. But if their idea is the only true one, then this opposing idea threatens their worldview. And I think, of course, war and strife come from a lot more. I think fundamentally resources is probably always generally the driving force of most war, even if it has a political or religious veneer. But I think, you know, one thing that I have to drop in, because it's one of my favorite quotes, I've said it many times, you know, we have to, instead of being afraid of the mysterious, the unknown, we have to be comfortable with saying we don't know, and being able to look the truth in the face and understand our place in it, and to not be afraid of the mysterious, but, as Albert Einstein said, to realize that the mysterious is the most beautiful thing that we can experience. So, I've been ranting and raving for a little bit. Dr. Hunter, any thoughts on this?
No, I appreciate everything that you said, Michael. I think that right to kind of carry on from where you stopped there is when we try to control it and we think we have an absolute, so we get into trouble. I think that's ultimately where we mess up, because everything is a theory. Historically, and as you said, looking at the macrocosm of, you know, our relationship to the, you know, the universe, that changes all the time. Our science changes. And historically, if you said, oh, I think that, you know, there's aliens, you know, well, that was not a good thing. And but it there's a lot of things that stand to reason. But where is the actual science that a lot of people could say, oh, that's a truth? Because you're right. Everybody has their own truth. I personally absolutely believe, and I think I know that, and again, I qualify that with a think word, that there's life elsewhere in the universe, and it makes sense to me. But there's a lot of people who say that's just not true, and it can't be true. So everything is relative when it comes to the unknown. It's based on our perception. It's based on, you know, our beliefs, our culture. And the mysterious, well, I think people generally like to be titillated, especially the New Age movement of how many years now, many decades of it, and there's always been an underground of, you know, psychic groups or, you know, it's not necessarily a New Age movement, but people who are prone to, as you said, reincarnation or doing seances and channeling dead people. And, you know, there's always been that underground of people, no matter, I think, in all of time. You have your medicine people, your shamans, you know, in indigenous communities. So, but you know, if we get into our lives today, what I think what we try to do that harms us is to have our emotional attachments, to be able to discern things properly, mm-hmm. or with some deductive, inductive reasoning, as Dr. Kelly so eloquently writes in the IMHS and TFU material. So if we're looking at things emotionally and we're really subjective, we're not going to see things. And if we have beliefs that hinder our ability to, you know, open our minds to possibilities, you know, so Serenity just said, welcome Serenity, she's new to our group, as just said in the chat, she finds it hard to be taken seriously by others when she tells them what she's studying. Who cares? And I'm not slagging you. I don't care if I'm not taken seriously. It's because that only says to me they want me to take them seriously when I might disagree. And it's okay that we disagree and have different points of view, whether that's, through religion or, you know, other different cultural beliefs. And metaphysics is all a part of that. We all have different opinions. And it's okay they don't take me seriously. So it's fine. And a lot of people will challenge us in a lot of ideas. Serenity said that's them esteem anyway. Yes, it certainly is. And again, that's something covered in the material of the courses. And Dr. Kelly, again, coined that phrase, and Tracy Kelly coined that phrase of them esteem, meaning how you feel about me is how I'm going to feel about myself. And that just doesn't make sense. So, again, we all have these different perceptions of how we're going to approach the unknown and mystery. So yeah. That's my rant.
Well, I always appreciate a good rant. You know, I tell you, there's a lot to be said for it. But, you know, I, of course, you know, agree with a lot of all of your opinions. I especially loved, you know, essentially what you were saying. If you believe that you already know the truth based on, you know, just faith. And I'm not saying that in certain situations there's anything wrong with faith. But if you think you know the absolute truth based on faith alone without any kind of other knowledge, you might be blind to the truth that comes by because you think you already know it. So your mind's not open to it. And I love that point that you made, and that, you know, just really resonated with me. But, you know, it's
everything's a mystery.
It is,
Michael. To me, like the fact that we can give birth and create life, that's a mystery. Nature is a mystery.
It very much is. Here's a mystery. Even if we let's just for the sake of argument take evolution at face value, and in a lot of ways, I think there's immense truth and logic to evolution and evidence. But why does life want to live in the first place? Evolution is simply life trying to find a way to live, to find a niche to live in. What is the driving force of that? Where did that even come from? Why is there something instead of nothing? These are
questions.
See, now
you're going to drive yourself mental asking those questions. You know that, right? See, that's where we, at some point, as you said very early on in this conversation, Michael, we have to accept we don't know. And I'm totally good with, you know, the first time I ever heard from a doctor, my daughter was having all these allergic reactions and we'd done everything and she had this big rash and he looked at me and said, I don't know. You know, I had to stop and think about that. And here's a doctor, you're supposed to know everything. And he said, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I loved that for a minute. And here, you know, somebody who is a professional who's supposed to be, you know, our, you know, in our minds, you go and get a pill and you're fixed and you go, they're the fixers of everything. And I was much younger because I know otherwise, truly. But I thought, what a beautiful thing that he could say, I don't know, and be so comfortable. And I really embraced that for a moment because I had been trying to tell people that, you know, they asked me, well, what about this and reincarnation? What about this? And, you know, do you think souls come in this way or that way? I said, look, my theory of the day is, you know, because I don't know, and I'm okay with not knowing. My experiences are a knowing inside, and then for my intellect to try to decipher that, sometimes I've been wrong. Just flat out wrong, Michael, because and that's where deductive and inductive reasoning come in, because they have to be connected. You know, a number of programs ago, we talked about apophenia and that taking two random thoughts and linking them together and trying to make sense of them. And people then go off and, you know, these wild kind of theories when they're two separate thoughts that have no connection whatsoever. Yeah. You know, and so it's we risk that of extending that apophenia too far. So it's just okay to say, yeah, I don't know. And this is my theory of the day. And it's just Ronnie just saying, keeping an open mind, seeking to learn. But being comfortable with what you have today and getting about learning. I'm an absolute believer that this is, again, my approach to life. We're here to create. Mm-hmm. So I get real tired about this I'm here to learn thing, you know, because what point do we create? So, yeah, we beam down onto the planet and we learn about what's here. Oh, computers. I never seen those before. You know, for me, born in 1955, I'd say, oh, refrigerators. I've never seen those before, you know. And, oh, so you're learning about this existence. You're learning about this kind of time-space that we're born into. And we're always learning about, you know, the dynamic of other people and changes. But what are we creating? Because I believe that we're here to create on Earth. I don't really think we've done a particularly good job of that myself. But
human beings have created a lot in terms of art, science, culture. You know, we have great works of literature and fiction and painting, etc.
If we stop destroying things and having disregard for the after effect and the consequence, I think that's where I'm saying that having a little more sensibility about, you know, where do you think all that plastic is going? You know?
Yeah.
But I guess that's where I think that if we are okay with not understanding everything, I can know that an axe murderer exists, Michael, but I don't understand them. I don't need to. I only need to know it exists.
So you've never been so angry that you wanted to just take an axe and go wild?
I'm chopping wood.
Oh, I'm kidding, of course. But nonetheless, I would say that you don't have to understand everything. We have to be able to say it's okay to not know. And I think that there's a certain element in a lot of people where you need to be right. You need to be right. So something, you know, hits you that sounds right, you latch on to it, and then now you're going to double down each and every time somebody disagrees or puts out evidence that that idea that you thought was right was wrong. You're going to just knuckle down and just hold on to it because you need to be right. And you need for that to be right for your worldview and a lot of other, you know, secondary benefits that we talk about. And, you know, I think that
to me, the mystery is people.
Oh, it is.
That's the mystery of life. It's I think spiritually we're remembering ourselves. That's my approach to it also, is I'm remembering myself spiritually. I'm remembering how to behave spiritually. It's I'm fascinated by people. At the same time, they make me a little bonkers, you know, because I don't quite understand. I see that disconnect. And when I took my first psychology courses in high school, and of course it's very Freudian based, and it's, you know, cause and effect of behavior and how we can pattern people's behavior in their environment. And, of course, B.F. Skinner, a lot of conditioning that was back then as well. And keep in mind that Freud was the first psychologist or behaviorist.
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist. He was a doctor who was approaching the study of people without religion as the denomination. And he was persecuted for that quite a bit.
No doubt about it. And you know, he was definitely somebody who moved things forward. But you know,
sure
of course,
did.
Looking back, we can see how wrong he was about so many things. But we only know that because he got the ball rolling.
Exactly.
And you can't be afraid to be wrong sometimes either. And if as long as you correct yourself, as long as you say, hey, you know, new information came along, I'm going to change my opinion. But
well, my point also in that frame of reference is that it's harder now to see those patterns of behavior, because where we had a wide, you know, kind of a wide view of a culture, it's now more bubbled. See, we have different people, like one town has a completely different psyche than the one down the road, you know, whereas before I think it was a little easier to determine behaviors. And that's where I find people interesting, that sociology and how that factors in. And so it's people are the mystery. People are the most unknown thing to me. And every time I think I've seen it all, Michael, I get whacked upside the head with a cosmic 2x4, because I get to see something. I did not see that coming. So
yeah, that happens like on a daily basis. Usually when you read the news.
I know. And that's funny. So it's being resilient, and I think that's the other key, is the resilience of working with things that are mysterious, unknown, you know, and I wish there were points to go with this. I don't know. Don't need control, be okay to be wrong,
absolutely.
Keep an open mind.
You know, if I could, and this is just my own personal theory, let's say the main takeaway is the fundamental shift, instead of being afraid of the unknown and the mysterious, to be invigorated by the unknown and the mysterious as an opportunity to discover more, to engage curiosity, to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, the old adage that the first step to wisdom is to admit you know nothing. Of course you don't. It'd say that, you know, you don't know anything. We know that blue is blue, you know, that up is up and down is down, etc. But you can't assume that you know something. And if you have that fundamental shift of, instead of being terrified of the unknown, which, you know, I get it. It has a very real reason for us to be afraid of the unknown. We, for the majority of our existence, have been, you know, oftentimes prey. And when you don't know, then your survival is at risk. So there's perfectly good reasons to be afraid of the unknown. But we have evolved. We have advanced. We have moved to a point where now we can begin to change the way that we perceive the world around us, instead of in a more, survivalist way from nature. We've kind of evolved beyond that to where we can look at things in a different way, because a lot of the pain and suffering, a lot of the conflict that you alluded to earlier that destroyed art comes from that fear of the unknown, fear that you're not in control. Right? Because
that's
ultimately what the unknown is. I think you alluded to that earlier.
I think that in and of itself is a great program. We should talk about that next week.
Well, next week we have our Halloween ghoulish stuff. But
I forgot. We'll save the fear thing for after.
What?
After we've scared everybody.
That's the key thing that we can do. You know, and I say, look to Gene Roddenberry. I mean, Jesus had his run. Now we need to look at Gene Roddenberry, who, of course, if you're not as much a Trekkie as Dr. Hunter and I are, he famously said, I'm going to butcher this quote, so why don't I use the interwebs that I'm on to look it up, but he advanced a notion of, you know, of it being a wonderful thing to explore, to advance. You know, I think that there's a lot of logic to people that, you know, think, okay, why are we spending so much money on space when we have so many needs here on Earth? And I say to that, they're not mutually exclusive. We have so many resources that we could do both. We could feed everybody and explore space. It's about how we choose to use our resources. And
I just had a discussion about that with my daughter the other day, and I said, we may have 8 billion people on the planet, but we have enough resources to take care of everyone It's mm-hmm. how those are distributed.
Exactly.
And the haves and the have-nots. I'm with you on that, Michael.
And obviously that is a very complicated discussion to be had. But, you know, the quote that I was searching for is, I think, perfect. If humanity is to survive, they will have to learn to take delight in the essential differences between people and between cultures. Mm. They will learn that differences in ideas and attitudes are a delight, that part of life's exciting variety, part of something of life's variety, not something to fear. So I think, you know, and well, I think that's absolutely true. I think it would be a hard sentiment to argue against. And here's another thing. It's the unknown and the fear of that unknown that causes a lot of that otherness. And, you know, we just restating what we were talking about earlier, what I was talking about earlier in a different way, bias against other cultures, which is kind of the root against racism, is the, you know, looking at something as other. It's not part of your tribe, not part of your group. So, in you don't know, in that's that kind of goes back to that survivalist early human instinct where you don't necessarily know, so there could be a threat. And I think that's a lot of, you know, what we've seen recently in terms of, you know, a lot of the racism we've seen in the Western world of late is people overreacting in a violent way to people because they perceive them as a threat when they shouldn't.
Exactly. I agree.
You know, and that's a topic in and of itself, too. Of course, the unknown covers everything, so it's a wide topic.
It is a wide topic, but the beauty of having these kinds of discussions and having this group here is to, you know, kind of poke around and expand our ideas and just have the conversation that we're not alone in our thoughts and we're not alone in asking the questions and in that continued learning. That's the beauty of the discussion, I think.
Exactly. And as we kind of, we're getting towards the end of our time on this topic, but as we kind of wrap up, you had mentioned earlier, you know, kind of getting sick of, you know, we're here to learn, we're here to learn. And what you just said reminded me of that, and you're absolutely right, but we're here to learn and create what we, and experience life all at the same time. We have to be able to, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. We have to be able to do multiple things. We're advanced creatures. We have a supercomputer for a brain. There's much in this world that we can do if we realize that we can do it. Belief is incredibly powerful. Belief is the most powerful thing there is, because often we're only limited by what we believe we can do. There's the saying that, you know, somebody was, you know, so successful because they were too stupid to know that they didn't know. So they had that confidence because they thought that they knew. And so they just went out and they did it. They got lucky or it clicked and it happened because they didn't know enough to have doubt.
That was the beauty of youth.
Oh, my God. I was so riddled with doubt and uncertainty in youth. It's only been adulthood that I've had any kind of, assertiveness. Let's put it that way.
But. Yeah, well, you know, and sometimes it's the reverse for people, you know. When I was younger, well, you know, they always said I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder anyway, but I didn't understand why I couldn't talk to that individual and CEO of a company, just a guy, you know. So I'm just going to go talk to him. I did things like, you know, I look back, I said, well, I've covered a lot of ground in this life. And the older I get, the less gumption I have because I know too much.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know what that's going to mean.
Yep.
You know, it's that time again, Michael. We're going to, for those who are new in our group, Michael and I select cards for anybody. And if you'd like a card, please, most of you know the routine. Mm-hmm. Put your name in the chat. What Michael does is Dr. Kelly has the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards, and he chooses one for you, and I back that up with the Tarot card, and we'll just show you how it works.
Absolutely. You know, I've always said it's the universe tries to tell us things through changing probabilities. And, you know, just a shout out to our card keeper, Wendy. Hope you're doing well. We don't have her in chat tonight, but she's done us the favor in the past. Very often she keeps track and we can kind of see patterns from time to time. But yeah, let's see what we have tonight. And let's see.
I think we're starting off with Dr. Edward.
Dr. Edward. Right? Yeah.
All right.
And we're starting off with a wild card tonight, Dr. Edward. We have number 3 blocks. Let's see. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight are required. Remain open. Hope that connected, Dr. Edward.
Well, Dr. Edward, the Page of Cups, Page of Hearts, is the support symbol to that blocks. And I'd say, in a word, a simple sentence, good news is on the way. And so if there's been some frustration, I think sometimes we have to look at, you know, I say this all the time, we want to get to Walmart, but there's construction and the red lights and the high traffic, but you're going to get to Walmart, you know? And so I have a little thing that's 3 times you're out, and I put it to the side. So if you're attempting to do something and there are these blocks, you know, move on, get to something else. Or just know that the timing is there, and that I say there's good news on the way, like right around the corner. It could even be tomorrow or the next day. That's how close I feel about that for you. So that's your message for the day.
That's exciting. Yeah. All right, and glad that connected, Dr. Edward. Saw that in the chat, thank you.
Good.
All right, and we have Eric next. Let's see.
Oh.
All right. Go ahead.
I had missed one in there.
Oh.
Okay, I got to put his name in, sorry. I have an order.
All right, no worries, no worries. All right, Eric, I have number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Let's see. Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. Good card.
Oh, Jack of Diamonds. Eric is your support symbol. Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy, Jack of Diamonds. I think you're embarking on a new project. I think that I'm sensing here there's, and I want you to watch for the synchronicity of certain things, those little messages. And again, I have that, you know, I just don't rely on one little, a symbol or something happening to me. Say, oh, that's it. I kind of wait for a repeat. It's 2 or 3 times. Watching the direction and who to talk to, what to do, what's the next adventure. But I think that because it's the diamonds and the Jack of Pentacles, it has to do with something fundamental, work-wise, money, you know, the tasks at hand that you're rewarded for. So there's a value to your energy. So I'd say that you're onto something. And maybe, and I got to tell you, Eric, I just had a flash that maybe this is something you've had an idea about for a long time and or a while, and it's starting to move now, move forward. So I hope that makes sense.
All right.
Okay.
And if I'm correct, I think we have Jamil. Does that sound right?
Okay. That's what I have too. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So Jamil, another wild card. Wild card kind of night. Wild card number 5, good one. Don't hate. Let's see, don't hate.
You know, that does come up more frequently these days because, I think it does, doesn't it? The climate it? We're in.
Oh, I think the universe is just screaming at us to try to stop hating one another. Quit fighting. But anyway, let's see. Don't hate. And I wish. And again, Wendy, wishing you well. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others.
Well, for this particular moment in time, Jamil, you have the Seven of Clubs. And to me, in a word, that Seven of Wands is protection and finding ways to buffer any negative energy that might be coming toward you. So rather than a don't hate others, it's more like if you feel like there's negative energy coming to you, it's just put up a white light around yourself and, increase your frequency so it just breezes through you and never mind. But also that importance of never mind retaliating. Look, it's very frustrating these days as we go through. Like you even go to the shopping mall and sometimes there's, whoa, I think it's time to go home. But it's a way of management and it's just protect yourself. Just put up that little wall and never mind. I really do tune out a lot of times when I go out in public or, interacting with other people. Mm-hmm. I go into that mindless place because I don't want to tune in and know their energy. I just want to get through my tasks. Mm. So that's just kind of a reminder for you, Jamil, maybe it's a skill that you're learning right now and putting up that buffer. That's all.
Absolutely. I can definitely agree with that sentiment, Dr. Hunter, and listening to music when I'm out in public going through the store or something, earbuds in, but yeah. Helps kind of isolate that energy. All right, and let's see, we have Ronnie.
Next. Yeah.
Jinx. All right.
Okay.
Ronnie, we have card number 7, self-mastery. Let's see. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
Well, the Jack of Cups, Jack of Hearts, got to remember that in the tarot, I believe that the knight is male or female. And it kind of doesn't matter because you have knights to kings, but no princesses to queens kind of thing. So to me, it's either or. So when you have that Jack of Hearts and self-mastery, I really feel like you're maybe, I'm going to get to it and say, I think you're standing up for yourself more. And there's a clarity coming to mind about who you are, and maybe you're putting up other boundaries because you're protecting your heart and you're understanding perhaps what a healthy relationship is now or what you want in that exchange. And that might be with anybody, not necessarily in an intimate way, but that self-mastery of your heart, your emotions, and who you are as a spiritual being. So I feel like that's the message in this, Ronnie. Hope that makes sense to you in some way.
All right. And we have Serenity up next, and very happy to have you joining us. Serenity, I pulled number 26, energy signature.
Good one.
Good first card. Let's see. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
got the Nine of Diamonds as a support to that Serenity, the Nine of Pentacles in tarot language. I see this more as a satisfaction of home, and the finances to support that home, changes in the home, that you're working on. Perhaps it's even a reconfiguring, a feng shui or something, but it's how you support that, making those kinds of changes. That's your energy signature. And getting a better clarity of what you require to do your work, to do your life. Now, in a little flash, maybe it's redesigning a work corner and how you can then create better flow of finances to make that go. And it's just those kinds of changes. But I feel really positive, even as I'm saying that. It's not in any way a negative. It's more like energized to be a positive, because I feel like there's something coming for you and you have to be ready. So, you know, clean out your, little piles of papers, or like for me, I just threw out all my recycling and got that stack, you know, put away. Yeah. And it helps to free the energy up. So it's about home, money, you know, and creating that kind of flow of energy. Oh, she just said, yes, everything you've just said is correct. Well, thank you for that. And thank you to Kevin, mentioned earlier, last week's cards for him, as he puts it, were dead on. So I'm really glad for that feedback. I say it all the time, but that's awesome.
Yeah, it's always, and I, you know, I think by now everybody knows that you have this insight, intuitive nature that you just hit things dead on, and I'm always impressed.
I just have people in my head talking to me, Michael.
Well, so do I, but they're always wrong, so it does me no good. But no, yeah, definitely glad to hear that connected, and it's, you know,
but we're not always done amazes tonight. Me.
Nope,
we
still
have. Yet.
We can't end the night without pulling a card for Audra, of course.
That's right.
All right, Audra. Let's see. I have number 36, gratitude. All right, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. I love that card. Love that card.
I do too. And I love it that the Ace of Diamonds is supporting that. You know when you've done good things for other people, but you say, where is the return? And then suddenly things start coming to you. You say, oh, that's how it works? Because it doesn't have to come from where you gave it. It comes from other sources that you say, oh, that's the flow of energy in the universe. That's what I feel is happening here for you, Audra. And it's, you know, when you feel defeated and you feel futile, like there's futility and you're saying, what's going on? And then, oh, you know, there is acknowledgement, there is recognition. But when it's the Ace of Diamonds, it also comes with a little bit extra in finances or something more fundamental, you know, that value. So, Audra, I want to say, I know you're always in a place of gratitude. We know you here. You have that heart. But it's how this flows around. And because even, you know, there's times when we do feel a little bit defeated and saying, what am I doing? And I am grateful, but what am I doing? You know, and then you get that reminder of, oh, this is why I'm doing this. It's good. So things are coming around. So nice little things happening for you, Audra. And I think you're going to find that in the next few days, too. It's pretty close.
All right.
So have I got everybody?
I think so.
Everybody?
I think so. I was just going back through the chat again and, you know, love the conversation.
Hey, look, I have to inject. When Serenity says her and her husband just created her personal sacred space.
Yeah, I read that too and it brought a smile to my face.
things work for me, even though Dr.
Hunter, I think you just cut out for a minute there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
I think we might have lost you for about 5 seconds.
Am I back?
I can hear you, and you're live on the level, so I think we're good.
All right. If I can just say to, I don't know what happened there, Michael. I didn't even touch my mute button.
So. Gods are angry with us sometimes.
I know. It's just Skype gods. Intuition is just accepting that things happen in other levels, space-time, that we don't have to always understand. And we're back to that mysterious, the unknown. I don't get it. I don't need to get it anymore. Mm-hmm. Auto-sensory perception is a physical thing. Just like animals have it, we have it, and it's in the prefrontal cortex of the brain. You walk in a room, you get a feeling. That's because your vibe is telling you something. People say, oh, I'm an empath. That's because you have auto-sensory perception. You know, you're very sensitive to people's energy. You feel their energy and their emotions. That's all pretty normal in the physical world. Intuition is kind of not having any science to back it up. There's no physical understanding to it. I don't hear your voices. I don't hear anything else. I'm just trusting. I've been doing this long enough to say shrug and I don't get it. But I love it that the tarot, I have that connection with tarot. I have a connection with numbers. And I have that connection of energy through you, Michael, what he's pulling in the discovery cards. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's whatever kind of tool activates that intuition. And it's just trusting that. So sometimes I get little pictures in my mind. Sometimes I hear something. Even sitting here, sometimes I'll get a smell of something. And because I have all those extra senses directing kind of activated through my intuition or vice versa. So it's just going with it and trusting. And of course that feedback, if everybody said to me, you know, oh, you're wrong, I'd have to sit down and give my head a shake, wouldn't I? So that's where it's, and again, I say this repeatedly, it's not ego-based, it's comfort-based. Okay, I'm on the right track. I've got this. So, you know, it's just the way it kind of works. So that feedback is good. But sometimes I did a reading for a friend the other day, Michael, and I do keep business and pleasure separate with people I know. Mm-hmm. And then I had told her about, hey, there's this woman going to show up, and I don't usually see these women through the work for you. I said, but there's two women. One's very, ooh, you know, and the other one, she wants your job. And okay.
Well, that's
fun. She called me 3 days later. Hey, it just happened this morning. Got these emails, and this woman wants to take the job I'm doing. I said, hey, give it to her. She said, yes.
Oh, so it was a good thing.
It was a good thing.
Well, but we're good.
It was so clear. It's like I've known her for years that, wow, somebody wants your job. And she's going to show up, but that was pretty quick. Like, it happened pretty quickly.
I thought you were saying that somebody was angling to steal her job from her.
She's moving in to want to take over a big part of it. And look, my friend is so near retirement, she said, good.
I guess it's happening for a reason.
Knock yourself out.
Absolutely. And, and you know, glad to hear that the Connected Serenity had mentioned that she loves tarot, has been a reader for over 30 years. And,
awesome.
You know, when you talk about the intuitiveness that you have, and I do think that there is something that comes through in the probability. Why is that card picked? And, of course, there are certain times where I do think it's, you know, you say something that hopes to connect, especially on my part, because I don't claim the level of intuitiveness that you have. I'm definitely not. But I do think that probabilities, shifting statistical likelihoods, are kind of a way of the universe telling us things sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, again, I think, I feel. I won't say that I know it for certain, but... Anyway,
I think there's a lot of things you know, Michael. You know, you do. You know some stuff.
Yeah, well, I hope that I'm right about certain things. I do get some feelings sometimes, but it's not for me to say whether it's right or wrong. It's just for life to tell us how it was.
Yeah. So next week,
yeah.
My favorite time of year, I tell you, every year on Halloween, I dress up in my witchy outfit. Mm. And
go and then sacrifice and children, right?
Yeah, I do.
And I, gingerbread, said, you know, people.
I'm
of
kind
course.
Of caught now, though, because they used to scare the like my go and sit in my grandkids' porch and scare all the little kids and hand out candy. And now they all just say, "Oh, that's their grandma. She's okay." And oh man, I have to come up with something scarier this year.
But yeah. That's fun. You know, that you have that luxury. I can't be scary. Nobody wants to see a scary adult man. That then you call the police.
Yeah, I know.
But no, great conversation tonight. And of course, you know, how do you have a 30-minute conversation about the unknown when it encompasses the vast majority of almost everything? But no, it's a fun topic, and I think, you know, the point that I hope just wanted to get across is if we embrace the unknown and embrace the mystery in life and engage it, we can be cautious, we can have the reasonable amount of precaution, but you know, embrace the unknown, you know, explore it, because it will have wonderful things that come of it, and some bad. That's life. But you can't be afraid of something just because something bad might happen. And so I hope that's something that, you know, I know that you had some great points, Dr. Hunter. Any last thoughts?
I'd like everybody just to roll with the tides one step at a time. It's like there's this great macrocosm, but there's also this little microcosm. Stay who you are one step at a time. You'll get through this. You will. And it's a full moon, so like, watch out for the crazies, you know, sidestep, navigate, you know. But I'm just teasing when I say that. I think some people are more affected by that energy than others. However, just hang in there, everybody. Get through this day, you get through this week, and we'll see you next week, and we'll talk some more stuff and have fun.
Absolutely. Good advice. Roll with the tides. And get ready, because you're going to be terrified next week.
The Night of the Dead.
Yes. Yay. Yes. We're going to be talking about spirits, the paranormal, and all kinds of phenomenon. So please join us, you know, for maybe a bit more of a lighthearted broadcast next week. Although, they always have their lighthearted natures as we kind of get into the Halloween spirit. And, of course, until then, listen, think, learn, grow. And live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.